Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
What do we see? We see Jesus showing up in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere to be the one who is the provider, the one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you, the one who says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You say, well, where's God? He's among us. If you're a believer, everywhere you go, there God is. And he will always protect you, and he will always provide for you, and he will always be present in your life. And that's what he was trying to teach them.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Throughout every generation, there have been families, companies, entire nations that have taken a dark turn or even collapsed due to the lack of good leadership. So if we want to find good leaders, or better yet, if we want to become great leaders, where do we start? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff points us to biblical examples in the book of Exodus to reveal the path to leadership, God's way. And if you've missed any part of our series so far, you can always catch up at bravemedia.online. Now here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson.
Leadership is not just a title of authority that allows you to make sure everything happens your way. Leadership is a position given by God so that you can be an influence and a steward of what he wants to accomplish in and through that group of people that you're leading. So whether you're called as a pastor, or whether you're called in the church to lead in a ministry or lead in a small group, or whether you're called to lead in your family as a husband or as a wife, whatever you're called to lead and called to steward, when you find yourself in that place, you're going to realize very quickly it's a little bit different than what you had initially thought. And if you've ever wanted to know what you can expect when you're in a position of leadership, the Lord has a word for you today, especially when you want to lead in his way. I want to encourage you to open your Bible up to Exodus chapter 17. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Let me give you your first leadership lesson. There's going to be five leadership expectations you can have. Here's the first. When you lead for the Lord, you can expect this. Number one, blame and criticism for legitimate problems which you helped create but cannot solve. Sometimes when you lead, the very thing that you're leading is going to create problems for the very people that you're leading. And one of the reasons that God does that is he wants not only you to know, but the people that you're leading, that all you can do is point them to the one that can help. That you don't have the answers, but God does. When you find yourself in a position of criticism and blame, as we've already talked about, that is dictating your spiritual immaturity. And it's also letting you recognize that that is not putting God on the throne. God is the provider. Israel knew God was the provider. If they really believed God was the provider, they wouldn't have been complaining about not having water. They would have talked to the God who was present with them and prayed that he would just provide water, because that's what our God does. That's what was going on in the life of Moses. And they're grumbling against him. They're complaining against him. They're quarreling with him. This goes beyond, hey, we're going to die out here. They're saying now, it's your fault. You're the problem. You're the one. You're the reason that we're going to die. So don't think there's something wrong when you experience blame and criticism for legitimate problems which you help create but cannot solve. Expect blame and criticism. That comes with doing what God is asking you to do. Secondly is this, when you lead for the Lord, you can also expect an increased dependency to seek the Lord and then go public with what he says. He's crying out to the Lord. He's burying his soul. He's telling the Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need your help. It says that he cried out to the Lord. Why? Saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. So he's gonna say, hey, take some of your elders. I want you to go out in front of the people. I want you to hold that staff, the one that you struck the Nile with when you turned it to blood. I want you to take that out in front of the people. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. I'll go before you. When God asks you to do something, he always goes before you. He always goes with you. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always come through with what he shows you he's going to do. But Moses had to do it. Moses could have said, that sounds like kind of a crazy idea. And if I go strike a rock and tell them water's coming out and no water comes out, they're going to take that rock and stone me with it. But that's what he does. He trusts what the Lord tells him. So he's dependent upon hearing the voice of the Lord and then doing what the Lord says. And notice what he named the place. He named the place Massa and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord saying, is the Lord among us or not? So the people were wondering, yeah, we've seen God do things, but is he present now? Is he able to provide now? Massa means testing, Meribah means quarreling. He named the place testing and quarreling. But notice this. He cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him what to do, and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. That's essential for us. When I got into ministry, my prayer life changed. It was no longer just a simple prayer life. It was, God, if you don't show up, I'm in big trouble. I remember becoming a youth director at a church of about 100 people thinking, I got this. This is going to be good. I'm going to lead kids to Christ, lead their families to Christ. And I got there to this church of 100 people, and guess how many kids we had? Four. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nobody wanted to come. I remember one day we had like 10 kids in Sunday school, and I was thinking, there's only 10 kids? And everybody was high-fiving each other, like, we've never seen this many people in the church ever before. This is awesome. I'm like, you guys don't come? They're like, no, this is boring. We don't like it. And there was this group of women that prayed in our church on Wednesday nights. There were five of them. They're very old women. They're about 45 to 50 years old. I was 24. They invited me to come pray with them. And I remember I went to this group of women that prayed, but they prayed differently than how I'd seen prayer before. They started praying, and when they were talking to God, they were talking to him as if what they were praying was actually going to happen. And then I would see what they were praying for would come to pass. And so they started asking me, what do you want to see? I said, I want to see more kids come to our youth group. And more kids started coming. I told them, I want to see kids start getting saved. Kids started getting saved. I then said, I want to see parents of these kids get saved. And I started leading parents of the kids to the Lord. And then they said, what else do you want? And so I was like, this is great. I will subcontract out all my prayers to these women so that I can go do ministry. But what I didn't understand at the time was prayer is not about God answering. Prayer is about your growth of intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. And what he's trying to build in and through you. And what I learned as I began to pour out my heart to the Lord and tell him what I wanted and tell him about my disappointments and tell him about the things I was excited about, God began to meet me in a way where our relationship deepened and our love for one another deepened. God already loved me unconditionally, but I started to grow in my love for him. Now I'm not subcontracting my prayer out. The reason that First Tuesday on both of our campuses and online is the most important meeting of the month is as if there's anything I can teach the people God's having me lead is if you can learn to seek the face of the Lord, he will meet you in deeper ways than you ever knew possible. Amen? That's foundational for your growth in Christ. It's an increased dependency upon him and going forward. Now, it's interesting here because if you think about Moses striking the rock, like, what's the rock? Why that rock? I mean, in some ways, any little rock would have done because God asked him to strike the rock. But if you fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he's talking about Israel and talking about how they provided an example to us, in verses 2, 3, and 4, it says that all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. What do we see? We see Jesus showing up in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere to be the one who is the provider and the one who's present. The one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The one who says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You say, well, where's God? He's among us. If you're a believer, everywhere you go, there God is. And he will always protect you, and he will always provide for you, and he will always be present in your life. And that's what he was trying to teach them. It was topographical about what was going to happen, striking the rock and the water flowed. What do we have in the New Testament? Christ got struck, and what flowed from him as he rose from the dead and sent who? His Holy Spirit, so that we would have constant nourishment to feed on the Holy Spirit. So, well, how do you know that? Because the New Testament talks all about it. Do you remember when Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4? And all she's asking for is a drink of water from the well because she thirsts. And Jesus said to her in John chapter 4, verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water, talking about the water from the well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And what does she say? Sir, give me this water. Just a couple chapters later in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. What do we get a picture of in the Old Testament? Jesus Christ being struck and dispensing that which is essential for us to live. Amen? That's who our God is, that we're dependent upon him. See, when we're leading, it's a position of spiritual authority that is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting here because even after Moses has done what God asked and they're provided for, you would think that at some point in time, these people would be like, Moses is great. I mean, when you read through the Bible, there's very few human. I mean, Jesus is the character. There's no one greater than Jesus. But if you're looking from a human standpoint, Moses is one of, if not the greatest leader in all the Old or New Testament. He's phenomenal. And yet, their hatred of him continues. You remember when he sent 12 people to spy out the promised land? And all 12 came back and 10 said, we cannot do this. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. Why did you bring us here and all this? And Joshua and Caleb too said, no, we got to take it. This is what God has for us. Let's go. And because they weren't obedient to the Lord, they waited 40 more years in the wilderness. But do you realize what happened at that time? I don't have time to get into the whole story today, but you can read it in Numbers chapter 14. I'll just read this one verse, Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. When the 10 came back and gave the bad report, it says this, but all the congregation, it's talking about Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. So what are they talking about months down the road? Let's still kill them. The congregation always wanted Moses and his followers dead. God shows up at that point in time, and here's what God decides. He goes, maybe I should just kill them all and we can start over. And Moses says, no. People have seen the cloud by day. They've seen the pillar at night. They've seen your goodness. If you kill them, they will say that you're a bad God and you couldn't get them into the land. Don't do that. I'll pray for them, God. And what you see is Moses' heart for his people, because any good leader, no matter what venue you're in, as a Christian, in the church, in the business world, as a coach, as a mom, as a dad, I'm telling you, you have to have a love for those that you're leading or it doesn't do any good. Because if Moses didn't have a love for his people and God would have showed up at the tent of meeting with all that power and Moses would have said, they want to stone me again. And God said, well, stand back, I'll kill them all. If Moses didn't love his people, Numbers 15 would have been, and Moses stepped back and God went, vroom. And Moses said, praise the Lord. But you see, what happens is when you lead for the Lord and you're a parent, even when your kid's wayward, you love them. What happens is even when they do the wrong thing, you still care for them. What happens as a pastor is even when people are rebellious, you care for their soul. You have to have a love for people. Moses was developing a love for his people, even though they wanted him dead. So that's what's going on here. But I promise you, there'll be an increased dependency upon the Lord to seek him and go public with what he says. You know, one of the ways that you can grow if you want to see God at work is to read missionary biographies. One of them is by J. Hudson Taylor called The Spiritual Secret. Read it a number of years ago, read it a few times. But in that book, he talks about the fact that before he was ever going to be sent overseas, which he knew God was calling him to do, he said, if I don't believe God can provide for me here, how am I going to believe God's going to provide for me there when I don't know anybody? So he got rid of everything he owned and moved into the inner city. And there's story after story after story after story where God came through just at the right time, convincing him that he provided, which is what thrust him onto the mission field. And what I've seen is what is cliche and people say all the time, but it's true that God is rarely early, but he's always right on time. And that sometimes God is building our spiritual muscles of trust. And when people blame and complain, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong. It means there's a hint of truth, but it causes you to be dependent upon the Lord. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to respond? And how do I show love to the people that you're helping me lead so that they can get what they truly need? Right? That's part of what it means to be a leader. You can expect blame and criticism. You can expect increased dependency. Third is this. When you lead for the Lord, you can expect ongoing opposition and attack for you and for those that you're leading. When you lead for the Lord, if you're gonna do it in God's way, whether it's from the pulpit or in the business world, as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, you can expect ongoing opposition and attack for you and those that you're leading. Notice verse 8. It says, after all this, it says, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. Rephidim. Rephidim means place of rest. Place of rest. Isn't it interesting that God takes them to the place of rest and they don't have water? And God takes them to the place of rest and now they're coming under battle? You say, well, when's it gonna end? Never. If you lead for the Lord, those little battles and those little oppositions and those little attacks never stop. They only increase over time. As a young pastor, when we planted this church and people would ask me, how's it going? I would share the two or three things that were really cooking at the time that were challenging for me. And I would say something like this, well, we got this going on and this going on and this going on. But as soon as we're done with those, boy, it's gonna be smooth sailing. I don't say that anymore. Now what I'll say is something like, we got these things going on and God's good in them. And even when these things go away, there'll be a whole nother slew of problems we didn't even know we had. And sometimes when I'm praying with people that are close to me, I'll pray like this. You know what? I'm just tired of these problems. Bring us new problems, right? Because I'm tired of working on the same one. And if I'm missing what you're trying to teach me, help me understand what you're trying to teach me so we can move on to some new challenges. But opposition and attack will always accompany when you try to live for the Lord. If you're single and you get married and you want to have a Christian marriage, there'll be opposition to it. If you're a Christian couple and you want to have kids and raise them in a godly way, there'll be opposition to it. If you want to plant a church and do it God's way, there'll be opposition to it. You want to start a business and do it God's way, there'll be opposition to it. You want to be a coach and do it God's way, there's going to be opposition to it. There's no way that you can do it God's way and avoid challenges. And here's what I would say. For some of you that have been doing it God's way, and it's not a result of sin in your life, but there's incredible oppression, incredible challenge, incredible attack, here's a word of comfort for you. God loves you so much and sees so much good in you that he's entrusting you with something so great because he believes that by your dependence upon him, he can bring you through it. So consider it all joy when you're going through those circumstances. And I'm talking about the ones that you don't like right now that you're in and that you would have never picked. That's the Lord in your life. They never go away. It's always going to be a challenge. There's never gonna come a time where it's not. I mean, I know if I were Moses, I'd be sitting there saying, I wish I could provide water. I can't, but my God can. I wish I could provide protection. I can't, but my God can. When God leads you to a place, he can cause problems in the people that you're trying to lead. And there'll always be opposition and attack. Here's why. Because God's people are always in training to develop more spiritual muscle. And you never graduate from the school of discipleship. There's never gonna come a time where you're ready to lead for the Lord. If you're listening to this message today and say, well, this is a good reason why I don't lead anywhere. Praise the Lord. That's not the intent of the message. This is the intent of the message to lead because everybody's called to lead. This is just what you can expect when you do. I've had people tell me from the time that they joined our church, whether it was week one or sometime after that, just all the things that broke loose in their life. People have said things to me like this. Pastor Jeff, before we came to Brave, everything was going okay in our life. But ever since we've come to Brave, it's unearthed. All these things in our marriage have been really challenging. Or ever since we've come to Brave, there's stuff going on with our kids that weren't going on before and it's become really challenging. Or everything was great, but now it worked, it's become really challenging. Or financially we were set, but all these things happened and it was really challenging. We even tell people when they're going to become elders or they're going to come on our staff, we'll say things like this. Just know, by taking a step of faith, you're going to experience a level of spiritual attack you just haven't experienced yet. And every time we tell somebody that, they always nod and say, yeah, I get it. It's okay. I get it. I understand. And then they come and they become an elder or they join our staff. And then they say stuff like this. Man, my daughter's sick now. Or I can't seem to be able to get over this hump. And we've never had these problems before. And on and on and on, to which I say, welcome to the family. Right? I mean, there's something about going after things God's way that is not comfortable, but oftentimes is challenging. That's what he does, and that's how he grows us. So we'll pray to the Lord, like, Lord, I want to grow. I want to know your word. I want to be better at evangelism. I want to be better at serving. And we think he's just going to download some information, and we're going to be better. And what he's doing is like, I heard you. I'm bringing some challenge into your life that you're not going to like, that's going to help answer the prayer that you've been praying. And that's what God continues to do. Now, when I heard this and I was a younger believer, I thought it was like pure poppycock or something like that. I mean, people would say, hey, every time we go to share the gospel, something breaks loose. You know, something's wrong, the power goes out, whatever. I never believed any of that stuff until I started leading for the Lord. Remember the first night we did an evangelism night at our church that we had? We were doing a big evangelism night. I invited a friend in. He was coming to play the guitar and sing and do all these other things. And when he did, wouldn't you know, 5 minutes before we started, the whole power on the entire block went out. And somebody said, man, spiritual attack. And I'm like, no, the power went out. It's not spiritual anything. They had to run, get generators to make the night work. But when I saw that happen over and over and over and over, and every time we went to present the gospel, things went haywire and it went haywire. I was like, there's something to this. Ask my wife and I now. When we first got married, if I was going to be preaching on Sunday, on Saturday, there was usually something that got between us. And I would tell her, it's spiritual attack. And she would say, no, you're just being a jerk. Which sometimes she was right. But now we've gotten to the place where we know on Saturday, when I get up, if I'm going to preach on Sunday, something's going to happen. There's going to be something that goes wrong between her and I, or a misunderstanding, or one of our kids, or something, or somebody's going to need to stay up late, or I'm not going to get sleep. It's just going to happen, and we know it's coming, so we pray for it. I've seen it on the mission field. I remember being in India one time, which traveling on the roads in India is dangerous as it is just to drive. One time we were in India, one of our guys got sick and had all sorts of heart problems. We had to rush him to the ER, but to get him there, we had to drive on the wrong side of the road to get him there. So not only were we going where there are no laws, we were going in between cars coming at us. And I remember thinking, Lord, this is because I'm going to preach the gospel. And now the more attack I see and the more opposition I feel, the more sometimes I feel like we're right in the center of exactly where God wants us to be. It's not about avoiding that. It's about realizing when you step out for the Lord, you will always be opposed because the enemy doesn't want Christ's kingdom advanced. So you can expect that.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, in the middle of a three-part lesson titled Leadership Expectations. We'll continue our message tomorrow, but if you missed any part of today's program or want to hear more from our current study in the book of Exodus, visit our website, bravemedia.online. And right now, we want to encourage you to join us in our effort to advance Christ's kingdom and help bring the gospel to those who have never heard by making a donation of any size to support this radio ministry. We're so grateful for fellow believers like you willing to follow God's direction to give what they can to help share the truth of God's word. So we invite you to take that next step today by visiting bravemedia.online and clicking the Donate tab, or by calling 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail right to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And before we wrap up today, I want to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, visit us in person at our campus in Englewood or our other location in Westminster. We love getting to meet our listeners, and we'd be thrilled to connect you with our growing community here at Brave Church. No matter where you're listening from, you can always stream our services on the weekend. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, maybe this ministry has blessed you in a way and you just want to let him know that. We love hearing from you. Email him, hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. I'm Bill Carl, and we'll see you tomorrow for the final part of today's message, Leadership Expectations. Find out how to step into your God-given role of leadership the right way next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.